The Webster City Lynx football team made a big response on Friday night following their tough week one loss to Humboldt in Webster City. Bob Howard's Lynx took down Boone by a final of 42-0, giving the Hall of Fame coach his 100th career win at Webster City, while also preserving an unblemished 11-0 career record against the Toreadors. The Lynx and the Toreadors matched wits throughout most of the first quarter. The scoreless tie was broken by C.J. Hitzler, who exploded for a 70-yard touchdown run near the end of the period to give Webster City a 7-0 lead. Webster City would then tack on a Jackson Sherry 6-yard touchdown to give the Lynx a 14-0 lead. On the ensuing Webster City possession, the Lynx struck again on a C.J. Hitzler 60-yard touchdown run. Hitzler carried the ball 6 times for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns and averaged a phenomenal 23 yards per carry. He also added an interception as well. Jackson Cherry would punch in his second touchdown of the half to give Webster City a 28-0 halftime lead. The Lynx added 2 more scores in the second half as C.J. Hitzler got involved in the passing game, hauling in a 36-yard touchdown pass from Ty McKinney to extend the Webster City lead to 35-0. Austin Mason added the cherry on top with a 27-yard touchdown to set the final at 42-0. Webster City sent their record to 1-1 with the win and will host Class 4A No. 6 Waverly Shell Rock on Friday. Coming into Friday night, Eagle Grove held the longest losing streak in the state with 25 losses in a row, dating back to October 2017. That streak finally ended against MVAO-COU on Friday night in the Eagles' 32-6 victory in Mapleton. The Eagles struck first to give themselves a 6-0 lead when MVAO-COU botched a snap that was recovered by Eagle Grove. Orlando Hernandez was able to capitalize on the ensuing drive with a 19-yard touchdown run to give Eagle Grove a 12-0 lead. A short touchdown in the second quarter by Roberto Callis gave Eagle Grove an 18-0 halftime lead. In the second half, the Rams were able to get on the board with a touchdown to cut the score to 18-6 before senior Blake Morgan broke off a back-breaking 72-yard touchdown run to give Eagle Grove a 24-6 lead. The nail in the coffin proved to be a 28-yard touchdown run by Tate Richardson to seal Eagle Grove's 32-6 win over the Rams. Eagle Grove will host West Central Valley in their homecoming game on Friday. South Hamilton rode into Eldora on Friday night, winners of their last 11 regular season games and winners of 14 of their last 15 games overall. The Hawks' win streak came to an end on Friday night at the hands of the South Hardin Tigers, the same field where they clinched a playoff spot a year ago. South Hardin took the opening possession of the game and marched down the field on the Hawks' defense, capping off the drive with a 4th-and-goal touchdown pass from Mason Sheldahl to Ryan Walters to give South Hardin a 6-0 lead after the missed extra point. The Hawks weren't able to do much offensively as an aggressive South Hardin defense lived in the backfield. The Tigers were able to score before halftime as Mason Sheldahl powered in from 4 yards out to give South Hardin a 14-0 halftime lead. The second half saw South Hamilton's defense begin to contain the explosive South Hardin offense. Landon Scartweet finally got the Hawks on the board in the fourth quarter, cutting the score to 14-6. It was the Tigers who had the final say, as running back Wyatt Hollingsworth took a trap play 67 yards for a touchdown to end any doubt in the ballgame, as South Hardin took home a 20-6 win over South Hamilton. Next action for South Hamilton will be in State Center on Friday night, as they take on Class 2A No. 10, West Marshall. The Clarion Goldfield Dawes football team took home the title of Wright County Champions in 2021 on Friday as they defeated Belmont Clemmy in the home opener for the Cowboys. The night belonged to Preston Gardner, who replaced quarterback Ethan Traub early in the night, and the backup quarterback made the most of his chance. Gardner went 4-for-7 for 121 yards and a touchdown while rushing for another 170 yards and 2 touchdowns, including a 68-yard run that was the first Cowboys score of the night to tie the score at 7 apiece. Nevin Foss would give the Cowboys its first lead of the night, scoring on a 9-yard touchdown run to give CGD a 14-7 lead. After Belmont Clemmy responded with a touchdown of their own, the Cowboys struck again on a 10-yard touchdown pass from Preston Gardner to Cody Olson to give CGD a 20-14 lead. The Broncos would once again tie the game at 20 following a touchdown to start the third quarter, but CGD would score 2 more touchdowns to take a 32-20 lead in the fourth quarter. The night was capped off by Preston Gardner's 3rd touchdown of the night to give the final score of 38-20. Clarion Goldfield Dawes will travel north to face Forest City next Friday in the KZWC Game of the Week. The Iowa State Cyclones began their quest for a Big 12 championship and a college football playoff bid on Saturday as they hosted in-state rival UNI. The Panthers came into Saturday ranked 21st in the FCS preseason poll. The game was as slow as the score looked, with both teams trading punts throughout most of the first quarter. Finally, UNI quarterback Will McIlvaine injected life into the game as he made a 40-yard completion to Deion McShane, falling down nonetheless, that set UNI up near midfield. A few plays later, McIlvaine found Quan Hampton on a slant route that resulted in a 54-yard touchdown pass to give UNI a 7-0 lead. The Cyclones turned to their All-American running back Breece Hall, who led them on consecutive scoring drives, the first coming as a field goal, the second being the only touchdown of the day for the Cyclones to put them ahead 10-7. Iowa State head football coach Matt Campbell.
Well, I mean, you still look at how we win football games here. You run the ball, you stop the run, and I thought some areas on special teams greatly improved, which is really exciting. You know, I thought Brock, you know, the downfield passing was better than I've seen it, which I think was certainly positive.
UNI tacked on a field goal to tie the score at 10 soon following, but Austin Mavis knocked in a 40-yard field goal to give Iowa State a 13-10 lead headed into halftime. The second half proved to be more of the same, the only points from either side coming from a Connor Asali field goal as number 7 Iowa State held on 16-10. The Cyclones will be 1-0 as they host Iowa in the Iowa Corn Cyhawks series with ESPN's College Game Day in attendance next Saturday. Many thought Iowa's season would be defined early with its first two matchups with Indiana and in-state rival Iowa State. In the first of its two huge matchups, Iowa passed the opening act with flying colors as they dominated the 17th-ranked Indiana Hoosiers. Kirk Ferentz's Hawkeyes got after it from the get-go as All Big Ten running back Tyler Goodson took the fourth play from scrimmage 56 yards for a touchdown, sending Kinnick Stadium into a frenzy. Indiana's first possession was marred with mistakes and ended when a Michael Penix pass was tipped and picked off by Riley Moss, who returned it for a touchdown to make it 14-0 Iowa just a minute and a half into the game. Iowa would add another touchdown in the second quarter on a 9-yard touchdown run by quarterback Spencer Petras to give Iowa a 21-3 lead. Indiana had the ball with under 2 minutes to go in the half when Riley Moss struck again, jumping an errant Michael Penix pass and returning it for his second touchdown of the game to give Iowa a 28-3 lead. Iowa head football coach Kirk Ferentz.
You know, I can't say enough about the big plays, obviously, Riley Moss and couple interceptions. Belton with that interception in front of our bench was a big play and just really well done. Goodson, you know, popping that run, that was outstanding. So all that was good. And then last but not least, just, you know, great to be back in Kinnick and great to have fans.
Dane Belton picked off Penix's very next pass, and Caleb Shudak tacked on a field goal as time expired in the first half to give Iowa a 31-3 halftime lead. Each team would trade a field goal in the second half, giving Iowa a dominating 34-6 victory. Iowa will be 1-0 as they travel to Ames to take on number 7 Iowa State in the Iowa Corn Cyhawks series on Saturday. With Local Sports, this is Quinn Douglas reporting.